All right. Well, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. You know, thank God for the early risers. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you guys don't sound enthusiastic about that. Like, amen. Oh, man. Well, praise God. Well, considering how much Jesus accomplished by being an early riser, by showing up early in the morning, it's worth the effort, isn't it? Hallelujah. You're already alive and fired up by the time everybody else is trying to find a cup of coffee. Oh, hallelujah. But the Spirit of God has already kicked in, and you are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the fire of the Spirit of God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, we are all the way to the end of May, and we are wrapping up our series on public appearance. And we have been talking about how through the redemptive work of Christ, Jesus, after rising from the grave, arrived on the scene in the power of the Spirit of God to demonstrate that he had conquered even death. Hallelujah. That's the whole point of the resurrection. Jesus conquered death. He paid our sin debt, the number one enemy of humanity, death. And so Christ gives us life. And he says that I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so we have been talking about this importance of understanding that the life that we experience in Christ is because of what took place on the cross. And we are not to be ashamed of the gospel, but we are to promote the gospel. We're to motivate people to at least check it out for themselves. Experience God for yourself. This is not just about people passing along stories. It is about an experience that you can have personally with Jesus Christ, with the Lord of glory. God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that is why we are so excited about serving the Lord, because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We know. Oh, he is so awesome and so amazing. And so today we are going to be talking about how sin impacts our life and how it works. So often, I go through the Word of God, and the Scripture is always relating about the evils of sin, right? We all know about that, right? And sin is our biggest enemy, right? Yeah, you. Yes, thank you. Talk to me. Yeah. Sin is our biggest enemy. It's not like a lecture, right? It's like, this is sermon time. That means, you know, hey, we're in this together. So God has given us this understanding of sin so that we can understand how it works, because the it's like kryptonite in the life of the believer, right? It's the thing that robs you of the power and the strength of God. And the more of God's strength and power you have cultivated in your life, the more sin is going to impact you when you come in contact with it, right? And so you and I are in this way, this life, where we are navigating through life trying to avoid sin. We are trying to walk according to the Word of God and the ways of God so that God can continue to pour his Spirit down upon us, and that he can continually fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that our flesh would not be a hindrance to us. Our mentality would not be a hindrance to us. And these are the things that work against us ever since going back to the garden. So today I would like to take a little bit of a look at that, and we're going to begin here at our lead verse in Psalm 18:28, and it says, "For you light my life, my lamp. The Lord, my God, illumines my darkness. And what the psalmist is saying here is that, first of all, that God is the light. Hallelujah. And it also brings the understanding that we all have darkness in us. We have darkness in us. And this darkness is what needs to be revealed. And many times when we talk to people about sin and about overcoming and what's right and what's wrong in our society, our community, and our lives, and people don't see the evil as being evil and the good as being good. They somehow have it all mixed around. And that is because of the darkness that is inside. When you're in the darkness, you can't tell what is what. And that is what is happening in the hearts and the minds of so many of us. And we all have these areas and these ways about us that are still tied to the darkness. Now, our souls have been saved and our lives have been renewed and transformed in Christ, but the flesh is still unredeemed. And that is where our challenges lie. And so I'm going to ask you this question today, and it is, did you know that your shadow is always with you? Did you know that? Your shadow is always with you. And so when your shadow is seen, that means there are things taking place that reveal the shadow. Otherwise, you would not even know it was there. But it's always with you. Well, today's theme is the shadow. Hallelujah. The shadow. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, enable us as we rise up in you and your strength and your wisdom and in your sense of direction to do and accomplish what you have called us to do and accomplish. God, you have called us for such a time as this that we would be able to do what you have called us to do as your ambassadors, as your witnesses that go out into the world. God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word today, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to see and hear how this applies in our lives, that we might be able to glean and learn from it in order to better serve you and represent you in this world. Help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the shadow is a very mysterious thing, right? So many movies and so many programs have related to the shadow. And whenever we think of the shadow, it's this mysterious thing. It's this mysterious place. And so the shadow is something that is with us. But what is a shadow? What is it? Well, I'm going to, I'm going to move this back just a little bit. And a shadow, as I have here, is a dark area where light from a light source is blocked by an opaque object, and it occupies all of the three-dimensional volumes behind the object with the light in front of it. And the cross-section of a shadow is this two-dimensional silhouette or a reverse projection of the object blocking the light, right? So that is the official description of what a shadow is. And if you look, I have a shadow on this wall. You can see it there. All right. Thank you, guys. There we go. Look at that. You see? Whatever I do, the shadow does. Right? It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, the shadow is always there. The shadow is always with me. In fact, it's attached to me, isn't it? Right? You see? Not up there, but down here. It comes all the way down to where my feet are, and it's got me. And when I lift up my feet, look, it looks like it's not attached, but it's still attached because it's coming off of me. The light is revealing the shadow. And that's what light does. Without light, there is no shadow. It is the light that eliminates the darkness, but because my body is blocking the light, the shadow appears where there is no light. Do you see that? The shadow appears where the light can't pass through, and it's exactly the shape of my body. Isn't that right? Look. Wow, even my jacket, it doesn't matter. Everything about me is in there. Look. Look at my tie. Look. Yeah, you see, it's all there. Why? Because of the light. It is the light that reveals the shadow. Hallelujah. And so God, he shines his light through us to reveal the shadows of sin that's connected to our flesh. You see, when your soul is saved, but your shadow is the sin part of you that has to die. The flesh represents the part of us that has to die. And so whenever you see the shadow, it's a reminder of the darkness that is with us. The darkness that is always there, that's a part of our lives as long as we are in the flesh. The problem is, if you don't walk in the light, you would never see the shadow. And a lot of times we are unaware of the shadow because of the lack of light, or we're in total darkness. Turn the lights out completely. Booyah. See a shadow? No shadow. Why? No light. We're in the dark. And when you live your life in the dark, you will not be aware of your sin. You will not be aware of your sinful condition, your need for a savior, your desire to walk in relationship with God. And that is why when someone shares the gospel with you, when someone shares the word of God with you, what it does is it brings light into your life. Hallelujah. Ta-da. That's great. And the light is what enables you to become a better version of you, because now you can see yourself as you really are in light of the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So do you understand the difference between your soul being saved and your flesh needing to die? Because that is why God gives you a new life, a new body. You have a redeemed or a resurrection accomplished body. And that is what Jesus did when he rose from the grave. His body was made anew. No longer was it beaten and bruised beyond recognition. No longer was it utterly and totally destroyed. But he had a new body. So much so that the disciples didn't even recognize him when they saw him, because all things were made new. And that is what awaits you and I. That is what God is doing in our life. God is shining his light through us to reveal the shadow of sin so that we can walk with him, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be renewed and revived in the Spirit of God. And so in Genesis 1, it goes all the way back to the beginning. And in the beginning, the word of God says, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we know when the light showed up, hallelujah, the darkness went away. And now you could see that the earth was shapeless. It was void. It had no form. And so God began to bring it together. you and I, we can't get our lives together until the light of Christ shines into our lives. And once the light of God comes into your life, then you'll be able to see. Then you'll be able to know and understand. So often we're like, oh, this is religion, oh, this stuff. That's because you're in the dark. And when you're in the dark, you don't get it. You don't understand it. You can't see it. But the more you begin to walk with God, the more you begin to cry out to God, the more you begin to hear his voice and follow him and do what he's called you to do, the more the light of God will shine in your life. And you will experience God in a powerful way. In Romans 5:13, Paul says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or counted against you when there is no law." Hallelujah. When there's no speed limit on the highway, it can be like the Autobahn. Nobody can get a ticket for speeding. Why? Because there's no law. There's no law. And when you live life without law, then anything is possible. Anything can happen. The problem in life is that there are laws that God has created and established, but people are in the dark about them. And that is why you and I are the light of Christ. We shine the light of God's word as we align ourselves with God ourselves, and God shines through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the word of God establishes order and brings light into darkness. When God's light shows up, it changes everything. You can see, you can move around without stumbling, without falling over things, without bumping into things. You have a different life experience. And so how does this work? Well, it works when we understand John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." These are the two dimensions, or two of the dimensions of God. It is that he is spirit and he is truth. And truth in the word of God always represents the word of God. God's word is truth. He is true. What he says is true. He is a just God. He is fair and balanced. And no matter what the situation is, God is always fair. And his word is always true. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He is faithful. And whatever his word says, whatever he says, it will come to pass. He will follow through and he will do it. And so when we understand the Spirit of God is critical to our lives, which is why when Jesus came, he called the 12 disciples, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Isn't that right? John chapter 1. And so he says that he is the Word made flesh, and as a result, he had to begin to share himself with the disciples. When the disciples walked with Jesus, they were walking with the Word. When the disciples were walking and living and interacting with Jesus, they were walking and interacting with the Word of God. And the things that Jesus said and did were coming down from the Father as the light of God was shining through him. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. And so the Word is the first dynamic. It is the first aspect of God that we need in our lives. And you cannot survive or thrive as a Christian apart from the Word of God. We have to meditate on it day and night. It's like food for your soul. It is the nutrients that your soul needs in order to be able to allow the light to shine through. And this is very important, and we will see in just a little bit. And so John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And so the word of God is establishing that the word of God is truth. And so in John 8:12, he says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness.'" Notice it's in the darkness. It says, "but will have the light of life." Hallelujah. That is why, because Christ is in you. The shining glory of God, the light of Christ, the light of God reveals things in your life so you can see what others can't see. You can hear what others can't hear. You're communing with God. God brings revelation to you because God wants you to be able to avoid the darkness. He wants you to be able to overcome whatever it is the enemy is trying to bring about against us. We wrestle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Isn't that right? Those are our enemies, the three enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Paul says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we need the light of God in order to shine into our lives so that we can overcome the darkness. Hallelujah. So Romans 4:15 says, "For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation." So that means anybody can do anything. You can do whatever is right in your own eyes because the law is not keeping you within the boundaries. There is nothing that you cannot do if you don't feel like you don't want to do it. And so whatever it is that you do, you're free to do it. But when the law of God is revealed to you, it brings restrictions into your life. And not because you can't do other things or because you can't do it. Yeah, sure, you could. But it would not benefit you because your desire is to avoid certain things in life so that you can have a life-giving life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what we all want. We want the blessings, we would call it in more simple terms, but really it's being in a position to give life to other people where you are able to impart life. And that is why Satan wants to keep us in the dark so that we are unaware of the opportunities that come our way to impart the life or the light of Christ that is shining in us to others who are in darkness. And so if you're in the dark, you might have a light, it's just not on. And if your light is not on, then you're going to be in the dark. And that is why we have to make sure that we are aware so that we can make sure that our lights are shining as bright as possible. Hallelujah. And so John 12:45 says, "He who sees me sees the one who sent me," Jesus said. And when we understand that this is possible because of the light of God, the Spirit of God shining through Jesus' body. Hallelujah. Remember, he is the Word, right? And he is Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Word of God. Well, the Word and the Spirit are spiritual things. They're things that are in the air. The Word is sound, isn't that right? Words can only be experienced or expressed through sound. Or if you're reading it, it's echoing in the sound of your mind. And so the Word has to do with the sound, which is a frequency of God. Hallelujah. And so light and sound are both on the frequency spectrum that God created. Light is on the high end, sound is on the low end. If you had a graph that went all the way across, that's what it would be. That's what it would look like. I know that's a whole nother study, believe me. And very, very powerful. But just know that they're all on the same frequency. If you were to listen to a light bulb, you can put a microphone up to it, one that's very sensitive, you would hear the filament in a bulb vibrating at a very high frequency sound. Sometimes you've heard that if you have dimmers in your house and you turn them down, well, the old style, the LEDs are a little different because they're more shielded, but the principle's still there. When you turn them down, you hear the frequency, this high-pitched sound that begins to shift. You hear that? Right? Really high pitched. And that is because they're on the same frequency. And that is why the light of God shines into your life and it will cause you to make a sound. Hallelujah. That's why the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. That is why you can't keep quiet. That is why you get stirred up. That is why the fire of God is burning within you. Why? Because the more the light shines into your life, the more you're going to want to respond. Why? Because the flesh can't contain all the fullness of God. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. And that is why we fill up on the Word of God. We fill up on the Word of God. We meditate on it day and night, and we allow it to soak into our hearts so that we become responders to the Word. That's what a worshiper is. A worshiper is someone who is responding to the Word of God. And we proclaim and magnify the Lord. We glorify the name of the Lord. Why? Because of all that He has done. You begin to see because the light is shining. You see what God is. I'm looking at it. Look at my shadow. Look at it. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Tell the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jump up and down. Look. You're never alone. Your shadow is always with you. And He's always doing exactly what you do. And so the Lord is with us, and He reveals everything to those whom He needs to reveal it to. God will let you see what you need to see. He will shine light into that area of your life. He doesn't overwhelm you with trying to solve every problem that you ever have or ever will have. But what He does is He says, one step at a time. And God begins to shine a little light over here. And maybe He'll shine a little light over there. And you'll begin to see the shadow. And it reminds you of your flesh. It reminds you of your weaknesses, your shortcomings. It reminds you of the fact that you need to draw closer to God. But it reminds you that at least you see it. At least you see it. At least you're aware of what it is. At least you know it's there. And that can only happen if God is shining into your life. And so when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Why? Because He is like the silhouette of the Father. Whatever the Father is doing, this is Jesus. He's doing the same thing. Jesus is doing what the Father. You're looking at the shadow. Shadow, what are you doing? What are you doing, shadow? Why? What are you doing? I'm doing what you're doing. I'm just following you. Whatever you say, that's what I say. Whatever you do, that's what I'm doing. What? Yes. Me? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying to His disciples. In John 14:7, He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Why? You see the shadow. And He said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Philip, come on, man. You should get this. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And so Jesus said to him in 14:9, He says, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Look, I'm doing everything the Father does. I'm doing everything the Father said to do. I'm walking in obedience. I'm in harmony. I'm in sync. We are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is like the silhouette of God, and he is one with God. He is God. They are one, the Word of God says. Jesus is the Word made flesh. If God speaks and things happen, and God is spirit, the spirit has to live in something that God said is called a body. So he, through the immaculate virgin birth, Mary gives birth to Jesus. What was that? All God did was put his spirit and his word in Mary. And Jesus was born. Hallelujah. And so now you have the word made flesh. Why? Because God declared it. He spoke it. And he orchestrated the whole thing. God, it was God's plan. His divine plan came to life. And that is what God is doing in you and I. The same plan is coming to life in us. That's why we have to abide in the Word of God day and night. Or whatever it is you're abiding in is a distraction. You have to stay focused and abide in the Word of God so that you can become like Him. Hallelujah. And this is why Satan tries to work against you. Satan, in fact, the very name Satan means adversary. Isn't that right? It means adversary. Satan is your adversary. His goal is to keep the light from shining into your life to the extent where you can see it and recognize that God is with you. Because the more you stay in the dark, the more you're unaware of what God is doing in your life and how God wants to use you to have an impact on the people that are in your life, that God brings into your life. It says, how can you say, show us the Father, Philip? Come on. So the shadow is a dark area where light from a light source is blocking, then it creates the cross-section of the shadow. In a two-dimensional silhouette or a reverse projection of an object blocking the light. And this is an important point here. Blocking the light. I'm blocking the light. The light is coming into me. So what other people see are the shadow. People don't see the light of God coming into me. They're watching what you do. They're listening to what you say. They're following the things that are happening and how you respond to things. And they're only seeing it in this very simplistic, two-dimensional way. And God says, let them see the word based on the light of God shining in your life. And so Jesus is like the silhouette of God being word and spirit made flesh that is lived in out in human form. He's like a crystal prism with God beaming and reflecting through him. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus doesn't block the light. He said, I am the light. Hallelujah. So in other words, the light is coming down from God the Father. It's coming into him, and he is just redirecting it like a mirror, and he's reflecting it. And so the Word of God becomes this silhouette of God that is being motivated or moved about by the Spirit of God. And so God is working through Christ, and in the same manner he works through us. In Revelation 4:6, we see this picture kind of laid out here. And it says, John says, and before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And so here is this picture that John is seeing in his vision in Revelation, and he sees this sea of glass. It's like crystal, which means it's transparent. And there's this throne seated in the middle of it. And there are these cherubim or seraphim, it's defined here as creatures full of eyes. That's pretty spooky, right? They should make a movie about this. And there's this creature with that's full of eyes. and they have eyes in the front and in the back. So no matter which way they turn, they can see. And we know that the Word of God relates these creatures as that they move with the Spirit of God, representing the fact that God sees everything. God sees everything. Nothing can be hidden from God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that we have and everything that we know, the world that we live in. God is so far above it and beyond it that it looks like a toy set to him when he looks down on life and looks down on the universe and on the planet Earth, because he created all of these things. And so God sees everything. There is nothing that he cannot see. His light shines in the midst of the darkness, and God can see. The eyes of God are in front and behind. In verse 2 of chapter 15 in Revelation, it says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God." Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God. Oh, boy, you got quiet. I read this one, huh? Yeah, hallelujah. Yes, and this is representative of what is about to take place in the last days, where he's talking about the mark of the beast, and he's talking about all that Satan is bringing about as he brings in his false Messiah and the way he tries to deceive the nations. But those who are operating in the light of God will be redeemed. God will liberate his people. And so John, he sees this sea of glass. It's this clarity, and this fire that is there burning. And it says that it's for those who had been victorious over the beast and the image and the number of his name. And saints of God, this is why we must abide in the Word of God, so that we are not deceived by the images that the world is going to put forth. It's already begun to happen. The testing has already been done. It's already underway. And you and I have to be able to see and hear what the Spirit of God is saying, so that we will be able to recognize the things of God and the evil that is at work. The shadow, it represents the sin, the darkness that is always with us, so that we can make sure that we stay in the light. It is a motivator to stay in the light, so that even the light of God redeems the shadow. Hallelujah. The shadow gets redeemed when you stay in the light. Why? Because if you fall in the darkness, your shadow will fall. Hallelujah. And Satan will use your own shadow against you. In fact, he uses your flesh against you to get your shadow to do what he wants it to do. And you and I have to learn how to overcome this by letting the light of Christ shine into our lives. In fact, one day, the Word of God says, we will be like him where there is no shadow. Hallelujah. There is no shadow, because the light of God will shine. And if you shine light from directly above you and it's straight on, you can eliminate the shadow. All you need is enough light. The more lights. You ever go to a theater or some type of production where they have lights everywhere, all over? Do you know what the number one reason is for all those lights? To eliminate shadows. To eliminate shadows. And you and I are in the place where when we walk with God, God is looking to eliminate the shadow, so that we don't have to worry about sin anymore, so that we don't have to worry about doing the wrong thing or being tempted or allowing our flesh to mislead us or guide us in the wrong way because of our emotions. Because the devil puts his words in our head, and we begin to believe the words of Satan, the adversary, rather than the words of God. And the adversary has deceived many because they believe the wrong thing about themselves. And when you believe the wrong thing about yourself, your flesh will begin to respond according to what you believe. You will find yourself misrepresenting God because you are abiding in the wrong words. And that is why you need the Word of God constantly reminding you over and over and over again. And this is where the battle is. The battle is to keep the Word of God alive in your mind. Keep it fresh. Keep it new. This is why you read the Word of God over and over again. We have Through the Bible, right? You have our church app. We have the Bible app. You go in there. There's a plan. You go to plan, and you hit that. And we're reading through the Bible in a year. And you're able to go through, why are we doing this over and over? Why, we did it last year. Well, we're doing it this year. Why? Because we need the Word of God over and over and over again. Every time I read the Word of God, I've read it so many times, but it's almost like I read it the first time. Like, wait, I never saw that. Wait, is that what happened? Is that what he said? Does that happen to you too? Like, it happens to me too. See, I'm not crazy. See, so, you know, we have these experiences because God shines light on things that makes things stand out, that before were in darkness, they were shadowed. They were shadowed. So you read it, but you know, you didn't really see it. You didn't really know, especially when it comes to genealogies, you're going through, oh Lord, again, he begat that and he begat this and begat that. And after a while, you're like, goodness, Lord, can't, I just want to skip over. Thank God for the reader in the app. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're reading all these names. But every once in a while, you go through a name and you hear something. You're like, wait, who? And you go back and you look again. Does that happen to you? Right? Because God, he quickens you to something. He shines the light on something that makes you. And then you grab onto it and you're like, huh? And you hold on to it like Mary, right? She pondered those things in her heart that were said to her about the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. We're going through the Word of God and he says, I'm going to highlight something and I just want you to ponder it in your heart. You're just hiding it in your heart because there's going to come a day when the enemy is going to say something to you. Something's going to come into your mind. You're going to see something. You're going to have an experience. You're going to find yourself in a situation. Somebody is going to be in need, or there's going to be something that happens, and God's word is going to need to come back to you. Otherwise, your flesh, the words that are ruling around in your head are going to rise up in you, and you're going to respond, and your shadow is going to be following you to do the wrong thing. You're going to be being tricked by the darkness that has attached to your life. And you and I, we need to learn how to avoid this the best we can. This is a tough battle. This is a tough challenge. And this is why you and I need the Word of God. In verse 3, it says, they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Hallelujah. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. You see, this is what God is doing. He is revealing things to us. He's revealing the righteous acts of God so we are able to recognize what God is doing. So often we run into people who can always see other people's faults, other people's problems. The darkness that's in somebody's life is easy to see, especially the closer they are to you. And certainly, it's easier than looking back and seeing ourselves. And so you and I are able to see the righteous acts of God being revealed. And so someone who is genuinely walking with God is not worried about other people's darkness because they know they've got their own shadow following them. And the reason that the darkness is even able to be seen is because the light of God is shining. So that means God is doing something. God is doing something. If you see someone else's faults or their shortcoming, it's so that you can remind them of the word of God, so that you can shine the light on the situation that they may not necessarily see clearly. And so we help one another to recognize the righteous acts of God. God is doing something in your life. Brother, sister, know that God is not forsaking you. He is with you. And when you fall short of the glory of God, as we all do, that's what Christ came for. That is why the light of God is shining, so that we can help one another to overcome the challenges of the darkness. Don't believe the words that Satan puts in your mind. Let the word of God come back to you. But you got to put the word in order for it to come out. And that is what the word of God will do. The Spirit of God will speak to you. He will bring things to your remembrance. And so God is like this sea of glass that is transparent. So he's not creating the shadow, because he's transparent. And he's like the crystal. The light just refracts off of him and makes more light. Hallelujah. The light refracts off of him and makes more light. And his light passes through to form a prism effect on our lives through Christ the Lord. And so when Christ is in you, the light of God shines into you and refracts out so that you impact the lives of the people around you. So Jesus is like this silhouette of God, being the Word and the Spirit made flesh that is lived out in human form. This is what God is working out in the midst of us. He wants to shine his light through you, shine his light through us. He reveals the shadow of sin and the tactics of the enemy that are working against us, because God is bringing us to a place of liberty, of victory, so that we can overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. That is why Paul says, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant of Satan's tactics or his devices, his ways. And when we understand the strategies of the enemy, we can move our troops into place to counteract them. And that is what the word of God will bring into your life. And so Satan tries to block the word of God so that the Spirit of God has nothing to ignite to bring fire into your life. Hallelujah. You ever see Christians, they're not on fire? They're not on fire, right? You know Christians, they're not on fire. Well, there's only one thing missing when you don't have fire. That's spirit. Spirit is what brings fire. A lot of people, they have the word. They can quote scriptures, dignified and religious, and they can tell you all the things about the word of God. They know where it was written. They know who wrote it, how it was written. They know what pen was used. Oh, yes. But they lack power. And there's the anointing of God and the move of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives life. And that's why as you abide in the Word, you pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lord God, breathe life into me. And the life of God comes into you. And as you stir in God, as you reveal your heart to God, as you open your heart to God, as you surrender your life to God, you say, God, have your way in me. And you humble yourself before the Lord, and you allow God to saturate you with the light of God, the Spirit and the Word. The light is the Spirit and the Word coming into your flesh, coming into your mind, coming into your heart, coming into your life. Paul says in Colossians 1:15, he is, talking about Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And saints of God, we are born again as well. We are following in what Christ has accomplished on the cross. And so we now are able to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God. Verse 12 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." That is the realm where Satan is working in his authority, the prince and the power of the air. He is speaking words into the minds of people who rule, and he is using power or authority against us. And there is the world's forces that are in the darkness, because the world is in darkness. So all of the forces of this world are operating in darkness. And then there are the spiritual forces of wickedness. Satan works in the spirit realm. He is fighting against the angels of God. There are battles in the heavenlies. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take by force, Matthew says. And so we have to understand how all of these dynamics, all of these things work together, and all of these things are here so that you and I can experience and recognize God's in working in our life, the manifestations of God. Hallelujah. And so in Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, let the light of God shine. The more God's light shines in your life, the more your shadow begins to dissipate. The more you experience the glory of God, the word of God, the presence of God, it changes everything. The presence of God changes everything. His presence needs to be with you in your car while you're driving. Your presence needs to be with you at work. It doesn't matter where you go. You're shopping. You're going through Walmart or ShopRite or wherever it is you buy stuff. You ought to go in the anointing, the presence of God. You ought to worship as you go through the aisles. "Father, in the name of Jesus, give me wisdom. Give me power to resist those potato chips." Hallelujah. Some aisles you got to go through faster than others. Hallelujah. But you need the anointing. Otherwise, you will slow down and start to browse and shop for things not on the list. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you get to the register because you got caught up in the wrong sounds of the music playing from the good old days in the store. And all of a sudden, your spirit shifts from the presence of God to the 1980s and 90s. Oh, I remember that song. Oh, that's why they play music in stores. There's a whole science behind it. They're trying to distract you in your mind so that you start going, "Yes, one bag of chips, two bags of chips, one bottle of Coke, one bottle of soda. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah." And you get to the register and you go, "Good God, the price has skyrocketed. I only came here for a loaf of bread. Good grief, how did I get this full basket?" Well, the 90s got to you. Hallelujah. And this is what happens in your life. This is what happens when we are distracted. And that's what Satan's tactic is. That's what his job is to distract us so we get focused on the wrong thing. And the next thing you know, we're thinking the wrong way about the situation, about the circumstances, and we are thrown off course and we start reacting. And the next thing you know, you're finding yourself doing things that you did not really want to do. And it's not until the light comes on, bing, that you realize, "That was dumb. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Has that ever happened to you? Why did I say that? Why did I even go there? Why did that even happen? Why did I do it?" And then we feel regret, don't we? Now we feel shame. Now we feel sorry. We're in this terrible place because we realize that we were deceived in our mind. Confusion was brought about. Why? Because without the Word and the Spirit, there is chaos and there is confusion because there's no law, there's no rule. We just go according to how we feel. And I feel like buying another bag of chips. And don't even let me pass the pastry aisle. Oh, hallelujah. And before you know it, we're there eating and eating and eating. And then the doctor says, your A1C seems a little high. And you're like, well, what do you mean, doctor? Says, well, I think you put on a few extra pounds over this past year, and it looks like you need to go on this rack of medication. And now the insurance company is going, what? And the pharmaceutical company is going, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And now you're spending money on stuff that you didn't have to spend it on before. All because of that bag of chips in the aisle of ShopRite. Why did I go? I can't get the weight off. I try to fast, I stop eating, and it's, I blow right back up. It keeps getting worse. Let the light of God shine into your life. God will reveal things to you. And, you know, it's all different ways the enemy gets into our heads. Oh, we start responding emotionally. We start reacting because somebody said something, somebody did something, and we're offended, and we're hurt, and we're in this bad place. Well, what do you expect? He's a shadow. What do you expect? They're in darkness. That's what people in dark. Why are we going crazy when people are in darkness? They're in darkness. That's what darkness does to people. Our job is to help them out of the darkness. And if you're not helping people out of the darkness, then just zip it. Zip it. Don't complain. Don't talk about the government. Don't talk about the world and the condition the world is in these days. Oh, well, oh, America's really going down. Oh, no, you are going down because the Spirit of God has given you the light of Christ and the light of God and the Word of God. But do you abide in the Word? Do you trust in the Word? Are you walking with God? Are you abiding in Him? Are you worshiping God and acknowledging the wondrous works of God? No. It's not what's happening in the lives of many Christians, too many of us. And we have complacency and we're afraid because we're believing the lies of the enemy. Oh, I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. I don't want to talk about Jesus. What do you mean tell my friends about Jesus? I don't even want to say the name Jesus. Well, if the name of Jesus is so powerful, you're afraid of it. Think it what would happen if you said it out loud to somebody. When you release it, it will do what it was intended to do. You may not understand it, but God knows you. That's why He gave it to you. He says the way you say it and the way you do it, it's going to be on just the right frequency. It's going to pierce somebody's heart, and the light is going to come on for them. Ba-ding! And all of a sudden, they're going to start to see, wait, that's a shadow. I need to get rid of that. And they will seek God and let the light shine into their lives. But if Satan can keep you quiet, then those people get to stay in darkness, and so do you. You keep your shadow because the thing that is hindering you stays with you, and it will not leave you. It will always be there. And when you see that shadow, it's a reminder of how you need to do what Jesus should or would have or could have done if He was you. And you and I represent the wondrous works of God, the light of God, shining into our lives. You are the light of the world, He says. And He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Luke says in chapter 178, you and I have to let the sun rise in our life. Let the Son of God rise in your life. Let him shine. Let him visit you. Let him spend time with God. How often in any given day do you spend time with God? Do you just meditate on the Word of God? Do you just talk to God and say, Lord, oh God, I just thank you for all you've done for my life. Don't ask him for anything. Just spend time thanking God for what, remember what you know that God has done for you in any given day, and just sit down and say, God, thank you. Thank you for delivering me from evil, for helping me to see that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Spending time with God, it cultivates the fire of the Spirit. It cultivates, it brings to life the very things. It's just like when you go out on a date. You're all excited. It's like, oh, yes. And you go out to eat, and you do all kinds of things, and you just can't wait, and you just want to spend time, right? I've seen people in my own house, my own kids, talking on the phone, laying in the bed at night. Oh, yeah. Just carrying the phone around. You know, they're just on video chat. I'm like, dude, what, you know, people, what are you guys doing? You know, what's with this? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. People are texting, right? Sitting in church right now, there's people texting. Building relationships. Start texting God. Hallelujah. Start talking to God. Cultivate a relationship with God. I'm serious. I mean, you can do it. It's exactly the same thing. Exactly. There's no difference at all. The only difference is it's God. And all you have to do is spend time with God. Get in his word. Open the word of God. Say, God, I didn't know that. Wow, that is so awesome. Lord, can you do this for me? This, God, this is what I need right here. Give me a little of this. Help me, God. I want to represent you. I want to speak. I want to declare. I want to be able to stand. I want to be able to do whatever you've called me to do. I want to see souls saved. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want too. I want to do it. Let's do it together. And all saints of God, what God can do. And could you imagine if two or three who are gathered together in his name got together? Ho, ho, ho. What could we do? If we all got on one accord in one place and allowed the Spirit of God to ignite the fire, we could change the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to shine. And verse 79 says, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what God wants to do with us. That's what God is working at. This is our purpose. We are sent to shine the light, and the shadows will be revealed. And God will reveal the shadows so that we can align ourselves with the light of God. And eventually we eliminate the shadows, because God is shining clean through us in such a way that there is no hindrances in our life. There are no obstacles in our life. Nothing blocking the manifestation of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stephen said, you men, he's preaching to the people. He got stoned for this, but it's good stuff. It says, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Hallelujah. Woo, could you imagine saying that? Yeah, no wonder they stoned him. Yeah, Stephen, huh? Yes, but he was speaking the truth of God. And sometimes you got to speak the truth of God. You might get stoned, but hey, you spoke the truth of God. You're representing God. He was the adversary to the adversary. Hallelujah. You and I have to learn how to be adversarial, because people have no problem disrespecting you, saying things that are inappropriate or doing things that are not proper or not right around. They don't care. They just do what they do. So you can rise up in the name of Jesus and say, Satan, get thee behind me. I will not stand for it. All of a sudden, you and I have to be politically correct while the world is politically incorrect. Hallelujah. And saints of God, you have to learn how to stand for the rightness of God, for the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will give you what to say and how to say it. God will reveal things to you. He will shine the light into your situation so that you can bring light into people's lives. Stephen went on and he said, which one of you of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Oh, saints of God, you and I, we have to make sure that we are keepers of the word of God, of the law of God. Follow God's principles and his rules and his ways, and God will navigate you through your life. And God says, you will prosper. You will prosper. God will make a way. He will see you through. You will be victorious. You will overcome. God will make a way. He will, why? Because the shadow won't be working against you. He will be submitted to the light of God that is operating through the crystal transparency workings of God in your heart. And your heart has to be like pure crystal. It has to be clear. It has to be able to allow God to see in and others to see in that your heart is right before God. Your desire is right before the Lord. And this way, your shadow will have less of an effect on your life. He will dissipate. He will become less and less. Even David had this problem in 1 Chronicles 21:1. It says, Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Here's David, a man after God's own heart. And it says, Satan stood up against the whole nation and moved David. Why? Because David is the one who had the authority. So the whole nation was in agreement. They were all cooperating. And that's what Satan will do. Satan will move upon whole families. They all start thinking a certain way. He will move on whole groups of people. They will start acting a certain way. But saints of God, you and I have to be able to let the light of God shine. God has called us to always check in with the Lord. Say, Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Don't just do it. Don't just react. Don't just allow your emotions to take you in a particular direction or some grand idea or something that the world is doing, trying to allow those ways to come into your life. Don't allow it in. Say, God, lead me, guide me, show me. What does the word of God say about it? And the word will give you the Spirit's power. Peter says, 5 verse 6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God is not your enemy. He is your friend. God loves you. He cares for you. He died for us. There's nothing greater, the word of God says. There's no greater love than when a man lays down his life for his friends. Oh, saints of God, Jesus laid down his life for us so that we can have this experience in God that mirrors his. He's given us the word because it is the word of God that brings life. God spoke and the world was formed. Hallelujah. It says, be of sober spirit. Don't allow the enemy to get in your head. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Peter's saying, don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Don't get mad at the devil for being the devil. That's what the devil does. You need to be the child of God that God has called you to be, and then you won't have to worry about the devil because you will see him as he is. God will put the roaring lion of the devil in a zoo behind a fence in your life. And if you and I are able to hear and walk with God, we can navigate through life more effectively. And God will do whatever he needs to do to see victory come about in your life. And so verse 9 says, resist him. Resist him. firm in your faith, knowing that the time, the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. In other words, we're all going through the same thing. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. We are all going through it. It's just different fronts, different areas. We have different shape shadows. But the principle is the same, and we're all going through it. No one is different. So after you have suffered for a little while, he says, the God of all grace who called you into his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this. God says he will make us perfected in the Lord. He is going to strengthen us in our times of need. He is going to establish us victoriously as overcomers because we have submitted to the Lord. So let the light and the spirit of the word shine into your life. Through the light and the shadow will be transformed. Let the light shine through. Let it shine through. Let the light of God shine through. The word and the spirit of God will change your life, and God will enable you to have a different life experience. And so 1 Corinthians, Paul says, 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as also have been fully known. Oh, saints of God, there's a day coming when we will see him as he is. In other words, there'll be no flesh to block the full radiance of God. Oh, no man can see the face of God and live, the word of God says. But one day we will. Why? Because we will have glorified bodies. The flesh will no longer be casting off shadows, the thing that hinders us or the thing that causes us to respond emotionally. We will be like crystal, clear glass. We will be like the prism, refracting light that comes forth from God. God will give us a totally new eternal life experience. Verse 14 of Acts 5 says, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets, laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Oh, saints of God. Oh, when you walk with God, even your shadow, and the shadow in Scripture often represents the presence of God. Your shadow can go from something representing sin and darkness to the presence of God when you become transparent in God. When the light of God shines through your heart and God is able to use you in the liberty of his spirit and God manifests himself in your life, even your shadow comes under the subjection of the Spirit of God. And the presence of God is with you in your life. No matter where you go, God's presence is there. Verse 16 says, also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Oh, saints of God, you and I can be doing a lot more than we are. All we need to do is develop our relationship with God. Cultivate our relationship with God. God will use you. He will use you to deliver people from whatever it is that they are dealing with, whatever it is they are facing. God will enable you to have a powerful difference, make a powerful difference in their lives. You can liberate, heal, deliver, and set captives free. This is what Jesus did. Jesus said, even greater works will you be able to do because I go to the Father. And that's why the psalmist says in verse 28 of 18, you light my lamp, Lord. You light my lamp. God, illuminate my darkness. It is God who illuminates the darkness. It is the Spirit of God that is at work in the midst of our lives. So let God shine his light through so that you would be able to reveal the shadow of sin that's connected to your flesh. We have to get free from the shadow. And the only way is to bring in more light. Let the light of God shine in your life. That's what Jesus did on the cross. That is what the Spirit of God is doing right now. God is allowing the light of Christ to shine in the midst of the people of the world so that Christ can be their Redeemer just as he is ours. You and I are able to overcome, and God wants to use you, and he will enable you to be the man or the woman of God, all because of the shadow. Hallelujah. The shadow of God and the shadow that God has redeemed in us. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name,
pray that you are running out of the darkness by allowing the light of God to shine into your life. The Spirit of God is doing magnificent things. Don't worry about your faults. Don't worry about your shortcomings. Know that God is revealing them so that you can draw closer to the light. And the more you abide in the light of God, the more you abide in the presence of God, the more the overflow of God himself will impact you and the lives of the people around you. Allow your shadow to take on a new meaning and a new purpose as the Spirit of God redeems you and even enables you to operate in the presence of the power of God. And so I pray, Father, that you would continue to mold us and shape us. Make us the people you've called us to be. Raise us up, O God, that we would not operate in a spirit of fear and intimidation, but that we would operate in the power and the love of a sound mind, a person of God, operating in the light of Christ by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Use us, O God, as we go through another week. Help us to be effective witnesses for the sake of the kingdom of God, and allow the wisdom of God to be stirring in our hearts and in our minds, so that the words of the enemy will not distract us and bring us to a place we don't want to be, but that we would operate in the fullness of your glory with the light shining bright as we've aligned ourselves with the truth of your word in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
You call my name, and I ran out of that grave.